All right, I am not going to take 30 minutes, but I think on your schedule we have 30 minutes allowed. I just have a short thought, I guess. Tonight I wanted to, I just wanted to discuss two women. I wasn't going to try to do Ruth because Ruth will be done during the other lessons, but I did want to talk about two women. Not because they're women, but because it's a good lesson. And that is Mary and Martha. So if you'll turn to Luke 10. We have this small picture of Mary and Martha. And we see them other places. But on this occasion, there are a few words, but there's a lot to learn, which is pretty much true for the entire Bible, isn't it? When you read over it and think, well, there's not really that much there. I got that. And every time you read it, there's something else. So I know we've all heard this story, but we're going to read it again and just talk about it for a few minutes before we dismiss y'all tonight. Now, verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Now, I want to start with Martha here, and I think that's kind of an iconic thing. We always hear, Martha, Martha. And it sounds kind of negative, but I also think Jesus was not degrading. He wasn't degrading of people. I feel that Martha is that concerned, you know, I see you're troubled. I see you're anxious. Martha, you know, there's something better. I have something for you. Don't we just love Martha? Because I'm Martha. Oh, I felt like if I gave Aaron a choice to rename me, she would name me Martha. I see Martha. That's me, the anxious and the troubled. The words they use that are used about her in this, I have the ESV, distracted. She was serving. She's anxious. And she's troubled. That's it. Those are the words we have here for her. That distracted is a cumbered sort of distracted. You have many things on you. The serving is not negative, right? Serving is supposed to be a good thing. The anxious is not, it's not ever a good thing. We're supposed to be anxious and nothing. And then there's the troubled. So, I don't think most of those words aren't positive, but most of those words we can relate to. We can see ourselves in Martha. Most of us can. And I think that's why she's so relatable to us. Because who wouldn't be serving if the Messiah came to their house? I mean, we don't really fault her for that, do we? We have Jesus coming, and it says she welcomed him, and she served him. I'm trying not to get out of order here and get ahead of myself. So that's not a negative thing in and of itself, but she's anxious and she's distracted and she's troubled. And what does she do? We don't see her go to Mary. Maybe she did, but we don't see her in this account go to Mary and ask her to help. And we don't see her look at Mary and say, maybe I should be doing that. There's an option. I could go sit at Jesus' feet. We don't have we don't have that written that she did that, but we do have it written that she went to Jesus and she whined. She complained about her own choices, and then she asked him to intervene and help. Of course, who better to solve your problems than Jesus? So she did go to a good source, but her choice was to serve, and then her choice was to whine about it. And that's where we see Mary right here. I mean, Martha. And then we have Mary, who doesn't say anything in this. We have no quotes from her, right? what we do have about Mary is she sat and she listened. And that's what we hear. She sat and she listened. That's all. And what does Jesus say about her? She chose well, right? She chose the good portion. And my lesson tonight was really on choices and how we choose to act the way we do, and we choose our priorities, and we choose our outlook. And Mary, although she seems, maybe she looked lazy to Martha, maybe she looked like she was not being responsible, I don't know, but Mary chose wisely. She wasn't just accidentally sitting there, and Jesus came in, and she just didn't get up. She sat at his feet. That's a sign, you know, he's the teacher, and she's learning from him, and she listened, and that was her choice. And Jesus said, she has chosen the good part. And we all know what the good part is, and that really wasn't what my focus was tonight. I wanted to challenge you to make good choices today and to stick with it. I just jotted down a few ways we can make choices. I think one of our choices was to be here, right? We all chose to be here. And I, of course, we want you to attend every lesson we have. We want to encourage that. But I want to make, I want to ask you to make a choice to be here mentally, to be here this weekend. I know a lot of you have kids at home, husbands. Of course, we have things going on. We have illnesses and bills to pay and things we could worry about. I ask that you leave your anxiety and you choose to be here with us, and you choose to go home and take that choice, make that when you go home as well, and choose to be when you're with your local congregation and you're with a Bible study, a ladies' Bible study, wherever you are, that you choose to be there and you choose to be engaged, and make that choice before you get there that you are going to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. And I want us to choose to be positive. You know, you see all the shirts, choose joy. I see that slogan a lot. It is a choice. So I want to challenge everybody to choose to be positive this weekend. It can be tempting when we're around our sisters who understand. We understand what it's like to be preachers' wives, to be elders' wives, to be in the small congregation where you feel like you're the only one who does the behind-the-scenes work. We sometimes we get in these groups and we vent and we talk to each other and share each other's burdens, and that's great, but to complain and to gossip is a whole other thing. And I would like us to be choosing to be positive this weekend, to not be negative about whatever it is we've left behind, we're not supposed to be worrying about. So be positive this weekend, and to take that with you and be positive when you go home. Don't be the gossipers and the busybodies and the ones who are stirring up trouble in your congregation or in your home, at your place of work. Whatever it is, make a choice. Because that is a choice. That's not just some. It's a lie that some people are just happy and some people just aren't, and you can't change that. I'm not talking about anything clinical. Talking about your attitude and your outlook. So let's choose to be positive. We do want your opinions on the survey. That's different. So you can put your complaints there, but let's try not to walk around and be grumblers and complainers. Along those lines, be encouraging. Let's choose to be encouragers. Let's make that decision. You're not accidentally an encourager. You have to make that decision. If it doesn't come naturally for you, try. Find something good about somebody and say it. Don't withhold it from them. You might not see it again. Encourage other people to live up to their standards too, or to their potential and to God's standards. If you see something in somebody, encourage them to use that. I know I've heard, like if a congregation has a VBS, and you know somebody who is a good artist, and you go to them, I know you have this gift. Can you use it in this way for the church? I see you like to cook. Can you use that for this family that just had this hardship? Be encouraging to the people around you, where you're always searching for something good in them. And this weekend, that would be nice. But also, carry that on and let that be a habit. I wanted to ask that you choose to be open-minded and be receptive of the things that are said here. I would never discourage you from searching the scriptures. Certainly look things up and make sure that what's being taught is true. Ruth, we might not run into a whole lot of issues, but be open-minded enough that you don't go into studies here or at home where you already think you know what it says and you're just there to defend your position. Because that's not a godly attitude. And if you choose to be open-minded, not so much that you'll accept anything, but just open to hear, willing to hear what's being said, don't just discount things because you've never heard it or because that's not what you thought that verse meant. You know, look it up, but choose to be the kind of person that can be taught, because it's easy for us to be stubborn, but we can make a choice. We can choose to be learners. And that leads me, I think the big picture here is to choose to be a student. This weekend, we want to dive in and study. I always tell people, and I'd invite them, we won't make you play volleyball. We're not a camp. This is a retreat, but it's a retreat from the world to study. And I would love for us to be students. And since this is the first night, we have a whole day of lessons tomorrow, half a day of lessons Saturday. I want us to make the decision right now to be a student of the Word, to take it seriously. Doesn't mean we can't have fun, but to dive in and study and to take that home and to be a student until the day you die, be a student, and not to ever think you've learned it all. I think our choices dictate our path. And the choices we make today can be a choice tomorrow, and we continue to get up and make those choices. Someday they can be a habit, but we don't need to ignore the fact that God does let us make choices. Sometimes they're bad, and we have consequences for that. But we can make choices for good. And I always think of Daniel. You know, some versions it said he purposed in his heart to do good. He purposed. He made a decision to do things, and we shouldn't wait until the last minute or the last day to decide to serve. We have choices every day, and our choices, choice after choice after choice, adds up to our entire life. In the end, it was all choices, and we need to make decisions every day, and starting with today. I deviated from my Devo. I tried to do it from the icebreaker. And when I started writing it, it kind of morphed into something else. And then I realized I had Ruth in my devotional all along because I started thinking about the choices that were made. And really, the entire book we study this weekend was about a choice. At the very beginning, we see a choice being made. And we see Orpah making a different choice. And then later we're going to come to the king, David, and we're going to see Jesus all come from this choice way back when who knew but God that this would be so significant that she would say, no, your people will be my people and your God will be my God. And that choice ended up benefiting the whole world. I mean, God could have brought his son through someone else, but we're all living our lives as we are because of that choice. And you will live your life because of your choice today and because of the choices you make tomorrow. And I want to encourage us all to remember how important those are, and then it can be a choice every day. You don't have to live in whatever bad choice you made yesterday. And from this point on, we can choose whom we will serve. And I thank you for your time. Will you bow with me in prayer, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight thankful to have all of these women here. We're thankful for our safe trip. We're mindful of those who didn't get to be with us, who intended to. We pray your blessings on their health and their safety. We pray that you'll be with us as we close our day, and that you'll bless us with a new day tomorrow. We may study your word, and that all we learn will be in accordance with your will, and that we will be zealous and hungry for your word, that we'll be encouraging to one another, and that we will make good choices and go home to our congregations and our family and be a light to whoever we come in contact with. We thank you for the opportunity to be here, and we thank you for sending your Son to die for us because we could not save ourselves. It's in his holy name we pray. Amen.